He's forgiven. And I think that that's a good thing to remind ourselves of, how good God is and how much we're forgiven in Christ because of His blood on the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection. New life is available to us. And so David, looking forward to that, said this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who not only forgives all my iniquities, but heals all my diseases." Can you say amen?
Amen.
"Who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed and strengthened like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." So if you're here and you found yourself oppressed and you wonder, is God for me? Is He going to get me out of this thing? Will He deliver me? The Bible says that the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Can you guys keep playing a little louder, please? For all who are oppressed. Everyone say all.
All.
That means that includes you. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. So what this is saying is that He revealed Himself. Then it's going to tell us how He revealed Himself to be. Verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in mercy." Can you say amen? "He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever." Watch this. "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." The next time the devil comes and he tells you, "You're going through this because you did this and you sinned and you struggled in this area and that area," you have to remind yourself that the Word says He does not deal with you according to your sins, according to your iniquities. He does not punish you. In fact, the Bible says the punishment that was due you came on Jesus at the cross. He took your punishment. He took your transgression. He took your sin. And now you don't need to suffer what He has already suffered. Can you say amen? Everyone tell the devil to shut up.
Shut up.
Say, shut up, devil.
Shut up, devil.
Amen. Say that again. Shut up, devil.
Shut up, devil.
That sounds good. All right. Thank you, Jesus. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. This is for somebody. He has not punished us according to our iniquities. Isn't that great? "For as the heavens are high," keep playing a little louder, "above," you guys, please pick it up. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're made of but dust. As for man, his days are like a grass and a flower of the field, so he flourishes. But then the wind passes over and it is gone, and in its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. His righteousness to His children's children, to such as keep covenant." Now that does not mean that you need to follow all the rules. That's not what that means. It means the new covenant, the covenant of the blood. And when you are part of the new covenant, that you've been born again because of the blood of Jesus, and you keep pleading the blood over you, there is mercy not only for you, but for your children. Claim it right now. Can you say amen? For those of your parents, say, "There is mercy
for
my children." Come on, one more time.
"There is mercy
for my children." Hallelujah. "The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all." You don't need to get all shaken about what goes on in the world, because God's kingdom rules over it all. Amen. "Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Can you say amen?
Amen.
So listen, we're going to go back in this. We have had several healings that have broken out and taken place. People that have not even been prayed for healing, but just got prayed for something else, got instantaneously healed. We just found out the fifth person in the last calendar year that has had a tumorous growth in their body was prayed for, saw it disappear, and when they went to get it biopsied, when they went to look at it, it was gone. You understand? So listen, we're going to sing. I want you to get this nice and loud, Andrew, and we're going to sing, "When you walk into the room, that sickness starts to vanish." Let's lift our hands all over this room and worship God. Come on. Let's give Him everything we have. Come on. Yeah. Come on.
For you, Jesus.
Moses. I'm going Moses on you. Part. You guys go that way. Pressing like you're all buddies. If you're sick in your body, I want you to come on right now. We're going to pray for the sick, okay? If you know somebody that you want to stand in for, you come, okay? If anybody's sick, I want you to come right now. Praise God. Amen. Elders, come on, elders. I want you guys ready to pray. Come on. Come on. Get the oil. Get the olive oil. Praise Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing that. We're going to pray for them. Your elders up here, come to the stage, elders. Come on. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for all the sick. If you are sick, press through. If you're not, just step right back. Just step right back. If you're not sick, anybody sick, come on right up here. Hey, where's Eric at? Eric, I thought I saw you. Were you here? Yeah. Would you mind sharing your testimony? Do you mind? Come on up here again. You were up here last week. Give me the mic. I need a... Where's the handheld? Oh. Yeah, just tell them what happened to you last week. Come on up here.
Probably the scariest thing that has ever happened. So last week I was laying in bed. It was 10:45.
Talk into it.
Sorry. Here
just because you hold.
I didn't want to scare her. It was 10:45 in the morning, and I wasn't going to come to church. I was had a bad sore throat, just sinus infection, and congestion, and something at 10:45 told me to come to church. I don't know what, so I jumped out of bed, got ready, and was here by 10:58. You know, I went to the same seat I've been sitting at for the last month, and was praising God, and out of nowhere, you know, Pastor Russo says, "Eric, where's Eric at? And I was like, "Oh, not me, you know? And, you know, I came up to the stage, and he started praying for me, but he was praying on everything that is underlying a problem in my life. Without me talking to him, without anybody talking to him, I talked to Pastor Brian. He had nothing to say to Mr. Russo, so who told him? Who told him what was going on in my life? And then our guest speaker, again, underlying everything, praying for me, what was going on in my life. You know, on my way to church, I said, "Man, I got to stop at Dollar General or Family Dollar to pick up medicine because I don't feel good." By the time I left church, I didn't need medicine. And it scared me. You know, I was afraid to tell people, and I'm not afraid anymore.
Amen. Amen. So listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to lay hands. If you want prayer right now, I need you to raise your hand so I see who you are. Okay? Yeah, all of you right here that need prayer. Okay? Listen. Jesus has already done this on the cross. We're receiving what he's already done, okay? So we're gonna anoint you with oil because as the Bible says, call for the elders of the church and let them, is anyone among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick is what the Bible says in the book of James. And so that's New Testament. And so we're going to anoint with oil with the elders. We're going to pray and believe recovery to happen to all our brothers and stuff. Healings are breaking out here. We had healings on Wednesday night. There were backs healed. Hey, Rick, come on up here. Tell them what happened to you on Wednesday night, okay? You know, Pastor Rick, come on up. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to get your faith up. You guys just need to hear the testimonies, eh?
Well, I came to church Wednesday night. And I'd been teaching the class, and through the whole class, my back... I don't know what I did to it, but it was very painful, and it was very difficult to stand, and so I came into prayer, and Pastor observed that I was uncomfortable. He noticed, because I was distorting my body, and he came over, laid his hands on me, and prayed, and the Lord Jesus healed it immediately.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so, just so we're sure, it doesn't have anything to do with me or any person that prays. Very important you understand that. Jesus is the healer of our body. Okay? So if you need healing, you're just going to press through and we're going to believe for you. This is a house that believes in healing. Healing is part of the new covenant. The Bible says, by his stripes, by the wounds on his back where they scourged him, he paid the price for your healing. We understand the cross was for sins. What was the scourging for? It was for physical healing. We saw that Jesus just healed everybody all through the New Testament. He never once turned anybody away that came to him for healing, but he healed them all. Thousands and thousands of people that he healed. In fact, he healed so many people when he would heal them, he would tell them, don't go tell everybody right now because he needed a break, because as soon as somebody got healed and they started to tell, then crowds of people started to follow him like he was a rock star or something, which he is, praise God. Amen. So he was a healer, and the Bible says, watch this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, come on, today, and forever. Now, if he doesn't heal anymore, that means he's not the same. And then the scriptures be broken, and we might as well all go home. So we don't believe that. We believe what the Word of God says, and we have faith for healing right now. And I love that we serve a God who heals. So those of you that are sick in your body, you're standing for somebody, I want you to lift your hands up here, and the elders are going to take the oil, and they're going to lay hands on you and go ahead and rebuke all the sickness in you right now. You press right through. If you're sick, press through. You guys, press through like the woman. Don't stand over there. Press through. If you're like the woman with the issue of the blood, fight through the crowd to get to the people so you can get prayed for. Amen?
Sickness.
Church, we're going to worship. Walk into. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout. Come on. When you're struggling in your body and the Lord touches you, God, we thank you so much that you care, that you have not abandoned us. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said that, you know, even a sparrow falls to the ground and your heavenly Father, he knows about it. And he said, how much more does he know about you and what's going on? You know, just a little bird. Think about how many birds there are and how many birds die and all that. You know, and God's in touch with that. How much more does he know when we're going through stuff? He's available to the tried and the tempted and the weak. He's a healer. Amen. I remember some of you old-time Pentecostal people. I don't know, you remember, do you remember this song? There's a healer in the house. I don't know if you remember. There's a healer in the house today. You remember that old, right? Yeah. If he can't get through the door, he'll tear off the roof, is what the scriptures say. Listen to me, religion tried to keep them out. That day that paralyzed guy was brought in on the mat to Jesus, it was a pastor's meeting. It was a Pharisee's meeting. All the religious clergy had set themselves up in this large house so they could question Jesus. And then when the guy was paralyzed, his friends tried to bring him. They couldn't get through the door because all the religious folks would not move out of the way so that healing could come to the guy paralyzed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you still thinking about a stupid hurricane? Thank you for braving the hurricane. So they went through the roof because Jesus is still going to touch this guy. You know, thank God for great friends, huh? Because if you're the paralyzed guy, you cannot get there yourself. You need these guys. These guys could have said, hey, John, we tried to bring you through the door, but the religious crowd would not move out of the way. The Pharisees would not move out of the way. They were too busy questioning Jesus, looking for a sign. Can I say this in church? You never met bigger idiots in your life than the Pharisees. Jesus was raising people from the dead, opening blind eyes, having paralyzed people pop up and walk and carry the bed they've been laying on over 30 years, walking on the water, you know, opening the deaf ears, speaking like no man ever spoke. And they're like, if you could just give us a sign, maybe we could believe in you. I mean, if I was Jesus, I'd be looking at them like, are you really that stupid that you cannot see what's going on here? And the answer was yes, because religion blinds you to the move of God that's in your midst. So he had some good friends. And so the good friends said, you know what? The religious crowd won't move out of the way. So we're going to hoist you up on top. You're going to do what? Oh, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. You know, there's a level of trust there. You're going to do what with me? He's like, well, you're already paralyzed. If you fall, it's not like you can get paralyzed again. You're already paralyzed. You're already quadriplegic. So how much worse can it be? Okay, go ahead. I'm ready on the count of three. One, two, three, put me up. on top of the roof. And then there's this guy who hosted the meeting. So listen, you can't be all religious and worry about, you know, all this natural stuff. Yeah, it's hot in here. You know, I came in today with four things broke. I walked in the door and there were four things broke. That door that was broke back there, the guide that was on it broke off. So somebody swung it so hard and they broke it. The coffee machine was broken. That is an issue. And then I went to open up the curtains in one of the classrooms and they fell off the wall and that was broke. And then Jet came in and something was broken on her guitar. And I said, God, are you trying to tell me something? Yeah, that stuff's breaking off people today. You understand? Amen. You with me? So they tear this guy's roof up. If you're going to host the presence of God, you got to be ready. You understand? You can't try to make it all nice and neat. The Bible says that, you know, where the feeding trough is empty, when it's all nice and clean, that, you know, that there's no work really going on. When there's work going on, stuff breaks, roofs get torn up, all the rest. You know, people get touched. People are crying. People are laughing. And the spirit of religion says, that's the devil. Like, the blind eyes just got opened. The person that's been paralyzed just jumped up, and they're like, that's the devil. That's how blind religion makes you. No, it has to be done this way. Why? Well, that's the way we did it with my grandma. Yeah, but, you know, God, he's inexhaustible. You understand? You spend eternity trying to find out who he is, and the moment you think that you have figured him out, he's doing something that you don't understand, because it's not about understanding with your mind. It's about something that takes place in the spirit. Your mind is trying to catch up, and the more that you try to operate on that to understand what God's doing, the more that you will want to run and hide, just like Adam and Eve did when the Spirit of God was come. When God came to them and the Spirit of God left them, then what do? They try to understand God in their mind, so they went and they hid. And that's still what happens is God starts to move and people start to get touched. Their bodies start to get healed. The addiction starts to fall off of them. Marriages start getting restored. You know, children that were wayward come home. All of a sudden, there's a move of God. People sense the presence of God. People getting filled with the Holy Ghost, getting their prayer language. People praying for the sick, seeing them recover. And then the spirit of religion tries to come in and throw a wet blanket on that and say, that's the devil. No, that's biblical Christianity. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will not only do them, but you'll do greater works than these, because I go to the Father. And the implication is, because I go, there's another one coming. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And he said to everyone that he ever sent out, he never told everybody, go preach the gospel, without saying, go preach, teach, and heal the sick. Never once did they commission somebody to go without signs and wonders that follow and accompany the preaching of the word. And Paul said, I did not come with persuasive words, but a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. How long is this going to be, Pastor? You're in the wrong church. If five people in the last calendar year that had tumorous growth in their body and they were prayed for and then went to have it biopsied and it was gone, if that doesn't excite you, you're one of the people that's standing in the way of the next move of God. You are just like the Pharisees who tried to block the paralyzed guy from coming in the door. You're so in love with religion, you want to question everything in your mind instead of submit your heart to Jesus once and for all. Get saved. Hey. What you doing? Did you get prayed for? You guys prayed for her? Amen. Amen. You mind if I pray for you too? Give me that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Just yield the anointing right there. Thank you, Jesus. Man, you're such a precious person, Michelle. Man, and the Lord loves you. You're so good. You're so good. You know that? You're such a good person. You truly have a kind heart. It is not one part of you that desires to ever see anything go wrong with anyone. But the kindness of God rests on you, and it's the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. You've wondered even at times why it's been a struggle, and you know, and how much you give of your heart to those little kids in school as a teacher, and just how much it's taken out of you, and yet you've poured in kindness. There's a deposit. There's deposits, the Lord says, into so many young people that you've touched that you've never really fully understand that I've reached them through your concern, through your genuine kindness, through your love, through your efforts, through your sweat, through your tears, through the sleepless nights. You've poured out kindness on a generation. And Father, I rebuke the attack of the enemy on our life, Lord God. I call it canceled in the name of Jesus. Yeah. You have the inheritance that all the saints have. You haven't been left out. And he's for you, not against you. And he's not done with you either. Thank you, Jesus. You're either standing in the way of the door, or you're the person that needs healing in a variety of areas, or you're one of the people that's helping transport. You know? If you're going to be in that story, you'd rather be the guys that were transporting than the guys that were blocking the door, huh? And all these guys that had all the reputation and they wore like the robes, and they loved when people would look at them and be like, oh, Pharisee. And, you know, they were all about people coming to them. That's what religion wants. I'm just going to say something to you right now. You'll be hearing this again. Okay? We're just going with the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? Is that okay? Okay. Religion says don't drink of the fruit of the vine. Not only in the natural, but in the spirit. So religion tries to put all these rules on people, and people are struggling and they're suffering and they're going through things. And what happens is people, they seek to self-medicate sometimes with a bottle, or they get some pills or something, prescription. They try to take something because they're so stressed out and all the rest. And then religion tries to keep them from drinking from the new wine that will take care of all that. You understand? When Jesus died on the cross and was crushed, that's how God makes new wine. That's why when Mary, his mother, came to him and tried to get him to make new wine at the wedding, and he said to her, my time hasn't come yet. And people thought, well, that means it's time to start the ministry. He said, no. He said, my time hasn't come yet to make new wine. And you remember what he said at the Last Supper, because I won't drink of the fruit of the vine again until we drink it together. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there was a mighty rushing wind. And tons of fire appeared above each one, and they poured out into the Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues, and they got inebriated in the Spirit of God to the point that the world looked at them and thought, they're drunk. And Peter stood up and said, they're not drunk as you suppose, but they are drunk. And where the wine of the world will make you do stupid things that you wake up and regret, the new wine of heaven causes you to do wonderful and amazing and beautiful things. And the new wine's flowing through you. You're like, I want to see people saved. I want to see people healed. I want to see life come back into dead areas and dead things, relationships and bodies and regions. When the earthly wine is in you, you get bold and you do stuff that you wouldn't do when you're not drinking. That's the kind of stuff that's usually stupid, though. But when the new wine is in you, you get bold and you do stuff that you wouldn't do. Now listen to me. And what religion says to you is don't drink either one. Religion wants you so that you're never touched with the power from God, that you never drink of the new wine. And yet the Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Whew. You understand? And if you've ever been hit, like really hit, with the power of God and the presence of God and the joy of the Lord, then you understand what I'm talking about. I was at my church many years ago in New York, over 20 years ago, and I was worshiping in the front row. And all I can tell you was that God was moving down the row. And I was watching people get touched. And I could feel and sense His presence coming closer to me. And when He hit me, I felt like He grabbed me like from the shirt. You know, like, come here, son. And pulled me out. I kid you not, it's possible I was off the ground. That's how incredible this moment was. And zipped me around. I began to dance in the Holy Ghost like 1,000 miles per hour. I'm not exaggerating one thing I'm telling you. It's physically impossible to move the way I move. It was just like when the Spirit of God came on Elijah and He girded up His loins and outran the chariots. It was just like that. You understand? I'm talking me personally. That hit me. Pastor, how long is this going to be? Get out of the way. It's your religious attitude that holds back a move of God to people that are hurting. It's why they don't want to go to church, because they never experienced God. Religion tells them God has power, but He won't ever use it on your behalf. And so that's why they go looking for psychics and all this other crap in different places. I go to Barnes & Noble. I'm sitting there drinking a coffee, reading a book. I look over. There's an entire section of tarot cards and Wicca and witchcraft and all. And you know what that's for? That's for our young people. That's for our sons and daughters. That's for the next generation. Those are the people that are interested in buying that, because there's a generation that's rising up that says, I want authentic and I want real. And I want a God that loves me enough that He'll demonstrate His power on my behalf. And you can and we cannot stand in the way of a generation that has been paralyzed that God wants to awaken. He will tear off a roof if it is necessary. He will bring those that will come alongside and get down in the dirt in people's junk and their struggles and carry them and hoist them up and lift them to a place where they come into the presence of God so they can be touched and marked and never be the same. You cannot do church without Pentecost. Did you hear me? You cannot do church without Pentecost. What did they say? There will be an end times church that will have a form of godliness, but deny the power. What power is that? The power that Jesus died to send on us. Remember, He told the disciples, behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you. So tarry in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. I won't leave you naked, but I'll put the Spirit of God on you. And He said, it's good that I go away, because when I go away, there's another one coming. And when that one comes, you do the stuff that I did. And you know what? You do even more stuff than I did. Let me tell you something. You guys can be seated. All you people, sit down right where you are on the floor if you can, especially the kids. Adults, you guys can get a chair if you want. You guys can sit, but I want keys, please. that's okay. Let me tell you a story. Some of you might have heard me tell this story before. My buddy Dean Niforatis, who's the head of Global Outreach Foundation, which is my covering, and that pastors Dave and Jet and Brian and Angela have all come out from. We've planted churches in 40 different nations and seen over 2 million people saved. Build hospitals, orphanages, all kinds of stuff. Listen, Dallas, listen. You don't want you to miss this, brother. Just tell her, say, stop distracting me. So we plant a hospital, like a little health clinic in a Muslim area. Highly Muslim area, you know, but it's a Christian health clinic. And the mayor, the most powerful man in the town, in the village, right? Very wealthy man. His daughter got hit with some type of sickness where it left her like paralyzed, where she couldn't walk from the waist down. So they brought her to this clinic because this is the only health clinic in the entire area. But the father, the Muslim father, he would not let her be treated until they took the cross off the wall. So they wanted to try to help the girl. So they took the cross off so that he would bring the girl in. So they took the cross off the wall and they put it down, and then they brought the girl in, and you know, they laid her. And they laid her in the bed, and there was nothing they could do for her. And she's laying there in the bed, and the father went home. In the middle of the night, Jesus appeared to her. And he touched her legs and said, get up and put that cross back on the wall. She got up out of her seat and she put the cross back on the wall. These are people we know. She put the cross back on the wall. And in the morning, her father came to the door, and the daughter came running and jumped into the arms and said, a man in white appeared to me in the night, touched me and said, put the cross back on the wall, and here I am. The man, the Muslim man, renounced Islam, got saved, got born again, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and there was a move of God in that entire village, and many, many people gave their lives to Christ. Religion says that doesn't happen anymore. And that is why we have a declining church and pastors swinging in on vines to try to impress people. I'm not swinging in on a vine. I hear these things, and like people get together and like, what are we going to do to try to impress the people this week? Let me tell you something. Where there is no move of the Holy Ghost, you may be able to build an organization and fill it with people, but those people are not changed in their secret lives. They live just like the world. Same divorce rate, same pornography rate, same alcoholism, same everything. They are not touched from heaven, because Jesus has made, through his death, burial, and resurrection, new wine available. And religion says, don't drink from that new wine. So people secretly try to drink from the wine of the world to self-medicate all the pain that we all feel in a world with trouble. But Jesus said, you don't have to worry about that. I've overcome the world. I've made new wine. You understand? Give me Isaiah 55, please. Andrew's like, guy's the man back there. He just, see that? Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Leave it right there. Incline your ear and come to me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Can you say amen? Go back to the beginning. Here's what he's saying. If any man thirst, let him come to me. Here's what the Bible said. On the last day, that great day of the feast, this was right at the time they would take water and they would pour it on the altar. They don't even know why they're doing it. They've been told a couple thousand years ago, on this day of the feast, at this time, take the water and pour it on the altar. And so Jesus is there, and as they're pouring the water on the altar, he says, if any man thirst, let him come to me. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which was not yet given, because he was not yet glorified. Which tells us there's a connection between his death, burial, resurrection, and glorification that makes the new wine available for us that are thirsty to drink and be sustained in the generations that we live. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Religion has no joy. Yet the kingdom of God is righteousness, first right standing with God, peace with God, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That should characterize our walk. Look at me. It's okay in the Holy Ghost to get a little tipsy. You understand what I'm saying? Others mocked and said they're drunk. Peter said, they're not drunk as you suppose. But this was that spoken by the prophet Joel. Then in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit. Listen to this. On your men servants and your maid servants. Get out of here, spirit religion. Women need to be silent in the church. Paul himself was taught by Priscilla. She was the teacher that he talks about. Not Priscilla Presley. I don't know where that was. On your med servant, your maid servant, no male and female in Christ, I'll pour out my Spirit. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. New Testament prophecy, different than the ministry of a prophet. New Testament prophecy, you know what it is? It is speaking encouragement to the hearts of those that are suffering. It's talking to the guy in the cot saying, don't worry, we're going to go through the roof if we need to. We're going to get you where you need to be because you're going to get touched. Jesus is here. He's come to touch you. Today's the day. Don't worry about those religious people in the door. We'll go around them. We'll go over them. We'll go through them. We'll do whatever we have to do, but we will not let them hinder what his blood has bought for you. Amen? It keeps jumping out at me. See in the scripture where it said that Jesus came to every city and every village. He went through all the cities and all the villages. And I read it, and it jumps out at me, and I feel like the Spirit of God is saying, you know what? Citrus Springs is not forgotten. Inverness is not forgotten. Dunellen is not forgotten. Homosassa is not forgotten. Holder. Beverly Hills, Florida. Hernando. It's not forgotten. He goes through every city and every village. He has a plan for the new wine. You with me? You understand what I'm saying? Oh, for a people of God that would get hungry and thirsty. You know what he says? Go to the next one. Why? He says, why? Just leave it right here. Do you spend your money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? You know what he's talking about? Is people are trying to scratch this itch in any way that they can. They're spending their money on alcohol. They're spending their money on pornography. They're spending their money on drugs, on entertainment. Come on, Vegas and Orlando are the two fastest growing cities in America. Why is that? They're the entertainment capitals of America. We always need a bigger roller coaster and a bigger buffet. Not that I personally have a problem with a buffet, but my roller coaster days are over. But we're always looking for the next thing to entertain us. And that has gotten into the church because if we program the Holy Spirit out, then we have to come swinging in on a vine. You know what I mean? What are we going to do this week that's going to entertain the people? And we'll never have a budget that compares to Hollywood and all the rest to try to entertain. You understand? But if you taste of the heavenly wine, if you taste that, it'll change you and you'll never want anything else. But religion says, don't drink. Hey, how you doing? Man, we need the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. During the times that we live in, it takes courage to stare down Pharisees that are blocking your way, to bring life to those that are suffering. Come on, who's with me? Peter, man. Peter was a fisherman. He was not a trained theology student. You understand, in this moment, this prophetic utterance hit him. He just got filled with the Holy Ghost. He got born again 50 days earlier, and now he just got hit with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, and he's watching this thing, listen to me, happen in front of him, people getting filled and watching the others mock, and all of a sudden the word of the Lord comes to him, and he remembers, you know, I sat in church one day, and I remember them reading the scroll, and all of a sudden a connection comes, and he goes, wait a minute, I know what this is, wait, they're not drunk as you suppose, but I understand what's happening. Listen to me. This was that was spoken by the prophet Joel. Remember, we read this in the synagogue. We wondered what this was. This is what it is. It's happening in our midst. He is pouring out his spirit among us. And when he finished that sermon, what happened is 3,000 people got saved. I told you this before. This is one of my moments when I read the scriptures that touches me so deeply, because I remember when Jesus told Peter that if you lay down these fish and if you come follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men, which is a much higher calling. And Peter, he thought that when he failed, that opportunity was over. When Jesus died, Peter went back to fishing. He didn't know what to do, so he just went back to his old life because he thought, I failed. I denied him. And then he was out there fishing, and Jesus came and found him. And he stood on the shore, and he said, cast your net on the other side. And then there were so many fish that came that Peter knew immediately it was the Lord, and he jumped in the water and he swam, and Jesus asked him a question. Peter, do you love me more than all these fish? He said, you know that I do. Follow me. And when the Spirit of God hit him on the day of Pentecost, and the fishermen began to preach and prophesy, and 3,000 people got saved, and God is moving and revival is hitting, there was a man that was getting touched by God because the Lord was reminding him that he is faithful. Thank you. Thank you very much. There are some of you here that you think that you've been disqualified. The Lord just whispered that to me. You think you've disqualified yourself because you had a call and, you know, God told you to do something, whatever, and, you know, you somehow messed up the plan. And so you thought, I'll never walk in what I was supposed to walk in. And I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus comes near to you today when you're in your boat and you're doing your thing and says, hey, I haven't forgotten, but I'm still willing to do what I put in your heart. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you come to this region? You know, when the early church was healing people and all the rest, and the Pharisees got mad and they called them together and they said, don't you speak in this name. They all got together and had a prayer meeting. And they prayed and they said, God, grant unto us boldness to preach your word and stretch forth your hand and heal and perform signs in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had finished praying, It said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The place was shaken, and they spoke the word of God in boldness. See, church, you have to understand that God's recipe for religion is the Spirit of God being poured out. God's recipe for don't speak in His name, chicken disease, is get filled with the Holy Ghost. When you'll stop spending all your money and your energy and time for things that don't satisfy. I told you this for those of you that were here. Listen to this. The woman at the well that Jesus runs into, right? She's had five husbands. That's a lot. And now she's with a new guy. She hasn't married him yet. What is she doing? She's looking for love in all the wrong places. She's spending her energy on what doesn't satisfy. You with me? Religion says pick up stones and stone her. She slept with all these guys. She's a prostitute. She's after everybody's wife. Kill her. That's what religion says, right? But Jesus says to her, if you drink the water that I have, you won't be thirsty for all the stuff you've been thirsty for all your life again. The water that I give you will become a well and rise up eternal life inside of you, and you'll stop spending your time, your energy, your money for things that don't satisfy, for things that just produce bondage and addiction and shame. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying to you? And he said, but there's a new wine, you know, there's a drink that I've come to bring with my life, the Spirit of God coming back on mankind. And religion says, don't drink of that Spirit. And so then we have a church trying to fill the Great Commission in our own strength. It's no wonder everybody's stressed out. We need to be filled and being filled with the Spirit of God. This is the way that the Lord God set this thing up. He promised that He would send the Holy Spirit. I implore you, stop being afraid of the Spirit of God or the move of God. Things are going to happen that you don't understand. Okay? Things are going to happen that you don't understand. You have to just be okay with it. You don't understand it. Have you ever been around drunk people and see some of the stupid stuff they do? It's just trying. They used to call alcohol spirits. Why? It's trying to mimic and mirror the real move of the Spirit. But in the natural, it makes you do stupid things and act like an idiot and all the rest. In the Spirit, it fills you with the boldness to go reach the lost. It's always about souls. But we need the joy of the Lord. The enemy knows that. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if He can keep us from drinking of the new wine, if He can get us to program the Holy Spirit out. In the first day that I ever walked into this church, just the fact that I understand these things, there was an emergency meeting where all these people began to complain and we don't want this person. And the only thing was is because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. That's it. Nobody even asked me, what do you believe? I sat with my wife through. I was like, you guys called me. I didn't. I was good. We were in a place. You know, we were good. But God is faithful to come to every village and every city, and He wants a move of the Spirit. You'll not reach the lost without the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you shall receive power and you be witnesses. Where? Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, all the ends of the earth, everywhere. So when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, it's not just for the purpose of that you feel better, but it's that you feel better and then you go. listen, we've at kind of a little bit of a crossroads. The Lord has been trickling healing in the house. Listen, I don't want to embarrass people, but there are people that are in the church today, some of them that had the tumors and things in their bodies, and they're just gone. There are people that are in the church that it was a loved one that we prayed for, and boom, the tumors were gone. Do you understand? You've just heard testimonies of people that last Sunday, Wednesday night, were healed, and the guest speaker had no idea we've been contending and believing for healing, and he comes in and says, the Lord's about to release the grace of healing over this house. The first prophecy that ever came over me when I was 24 years old and I answered an altar call is the pastor was walking back in front of me like this, and he kept going back and forth for a long time. I have no idea what's going on. And all of a sudden, he began to lay his hand on me and prophesy that healing would come through my hands. He said, you've asked me for this, and I've given it to you, because it has always bothered me that people get sick and people are hurting. The things that irritate you about society are clues to your assignment in God. Do you understand? The things that really frustrate you, they're clues to your assignment. I remember the first time I prayed for a woman, a deaf woman, and she had in Africa, and both her ears popped open, and she could hear for the first time. And the tears are streaming down her face, and I watched her look up. Because she understood no man can do what just happened to me. Religion said, God wants you deaf. How do you understand that? He loves me, but he wants me to be hurt. Does that make any sense? Do you want your kids? Do you love your kids so much that you want them sick and hurting and wheelchairs and all that? Isn't that ridiculous? Those are your parents. I mean, I'm a parent and not always a great parent, but I don't want my kids sick. I don't want them hurting. I don't want them broken. I don't want them in wheelchairs. I don't want them blind. You understand? I want them healed. And then we say that we want that, but that somehow God, see, that's religion that comes in and tries to mess everything up. It's not even scriptural. Because Jesus commissioned everybody that he commissioned. He said, go preach the good news and heal the sick everywhere that you go. In many cases, he told them first, go heal the sick and preach the good news. It was actually before he even told them to preach was to heal the sick. When you heal the sick, it gets people's attention. Someone says, you know, I get it. This is a long service, all the rest. I want to go and all that. But you're not the one with cancer. It's not about you this second. You're not the one that the enemy will attack with something, and a doctor will look at them and say, you know, you're not going to make, you understand? We went to the hospital to pray for somebody that was dying last week. Unfortunately, they passed away, but when we were there, one of the family members had had migraines for since 2017. They knew the specific day. They had a perpetual migraine since then. And Pastor Angela put her hand on her in the hospital, and the moment that she touched her, she said she felt warm oil come down her head into her neck, and she was instantly healed. I'm trying to put in you what needs to get in you to do the work that you need to do. And I know that you all hear me. And greater works will you do. The Bible said Jesus could do no mighty work in his hometown, except for just heal a couple people, because of their unbelief. So the corporate atmosphere affects what God does sometimes. Yeah, he's sovereign. He can do a miracle and all the rest. But when you get a body of people that believe what the word says and are praying and believing, it affects the atmosphere. That's what I'm doing. I'm preaching and clearly, listen, once again, first service I preached on Jonah praying inside the whale. It was really good. It'd be online. But many of those people that are first service are going to wish they were here for what's happening here. So much for the early bird getting the worm. Maybe a bird in the hand's not better than two in the bush. Thank you, Jesus. Could you all stand to your feet? I'll do offering. Be exalted now in the heavens as the glory fills this place. Thank you, Jesus. Guess what time it is? Offering time. Okay. And as usual, if you have a grudge in your heart, you're not allowed to give. Okay, that's our policy. Listen to me. If you have a grudge in your heart, we love you. You're not allowed to give. Please take the grudge money with you and spend it by an Italian food or something. But for those of you that are ready, I do want to talk to you about tithing is biblical. Listen to me. Look at me. And for too long, the Lord has been tapping on people's shoulders saying that it's time for you to tithe. People tell me we can't afford to tithe. And I don't say what I really believe when I hear that craziness. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. God says that when you don't give the tithe, you rob him. It belongs to him. The first 10%, it's his. Again, if you have a grudge with that, don't give. I don't want it. I'm talking to the people that understand what I'm talking about. But it costs money to do the ministry and preach the gospel and all the rest. And, you know, I heard a statistic, less than 2% of people that call themselves Christians tithe. And in a church like this, about 9%. Everybody always thinks, the guy next to me, the lady next to me, that they'll do it. We're having a service. I'm going to let a little early. The last month of, the last week of September, we're having a prayer meeting at 9 and at 10 o'clock combined service. The Lord showed me a strategic way to put as many chairs and stuff as we possibly can. We're praying in both services, and everybody in here, we'll put you guys up on the stage. That'll help us. We'll put like 50 of you kids on the stage, and you just got to make a plan for that. And but here's the thing, that day, if you come, bring your tithe. Or stay home. Yeah, I went there. Because I want to worship God with people that want to worship God that day. And giving is part of worshiping. Stop being a taker all the time. And recognize that the Bible says to give the first 10%. When you bring the whole tithe in the house, God said, test me in this. Only area in the Bible, he said, test me. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven and provide such an abundance for your blessing that you won't have room to receive it. Now, here's what people think. They live in America, so they think, if I tithe, I'm going to be a millionaire. No, dummy. The reason why you're not a millionaire is because you can't handle the $30,000 you have. You don't know how to handle that properly. God's not going to make you a millionaire. Does that make any sense? If a kid won't clean the room, you don't give him keys to the car. You understand? Smallness in time. What it does mean is it will begin to open up the door for you to prosper, not just in finances, but y'all listen to me, but in every area of your life. You know, the Bible, it teaches in the book of Proverbs that it's better to have some vegetables and a whole bunch of family members, there's no strife in the house, than to have this great big feast and all this wealth, but then there's all this strife in the house. So sometimes prosperity looks like, you know what? God blesses you and you start to realize, you know what? We took on too much of a mortgage. We're going to sell this house. We're going to move a smaller house. We're going to sell our car, get out of car payments. We're going to work a double two jobs. I worked two jobs. I've actually got a little landscaping business that I do right now. I'm not looking for more work. I'm just saying, I do. I work for a builder. I've worked two jobs for most of my adult life. When I was pastoring at Calvary, I was a full-time teacher, coach. You do what you need to do to work and to make money to take care of your family. In fact, the Bible says if a man won't work and support his family, he's worse than an infidel. That's what the scriptures say. It is time that men and young men get off their lazy, stinking butts and get a job and work. I said it. Instead of letting mama take care for you all the time. Let mommy do it. Wah, wah, wah. Stand up and be a man. Men work. God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. So young ladies, job first, wife second. You understand? Someday, all you beautiful young ladies, there'll be some boy, some guy, young man, that he comes on a knee and he's like, will you marry me? And, you know, and don't be thinking, oh, he's so cute. Ask yourself, does he have a job? Because he won't always be cute. He's going to be fat and bald. And fat, bald, and jobless is no way to go through life. You understand what I'm saying? But at least if he's still working, you can deal with the fat and the bald because you're like, but he's taking care of the family. What I just said is so true. It's true. If he's lucky enough to have hair, you just got blessed. You don't need him bald, fat, and sitting on the couch while you work. And he says, why don't you come on over to my crib? Young men, they call their places their crib. Grow up, you fool. Man, you know what I'm saying? Man, whatever happened to men that want to work hard? And, you know, and anyway. So you do what you got to do. You start to tithe. You realize, you know what? We can't afford not to tithe because the electric company can't bless us, but God can. We're going to give him what is his and trust him. And if that means we have to downsize or get a second job to be obedient to what God says, we're going to do it his way and not our own way. Or you will spin your heels your whole time, and if you are saved, you'll stand before God and realize all that you could have been if you had trusted him. But I have to say this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, and I love you, and please don't get offended for hearing this, but I doubt seriously about your salvation if you can't trust God with money. Oh, yeah, I'm saying it. How can you tell me you trust God with your soul, but you don't trust him with your finances? Yeah, it's quiet in here. Treasurer, raise your hand, okay? Just so they know, keep your hand up, okay? Keep your hand up if Chris and I tithe. You understand? I'm not asking you to do something we don't do. In fact, when offerings go down here, we give more. So this isn't me and all these people on the stage. I told them, do not join the worst. We don't check because that's between you and God. I have no idea who gives what except for this. The Bible says that your heart follows your treasure, and when people start getting all in, you know they're tithing. When people start going like this, then you know that they stop giving because their heart's no longer in there. You understand? But I told all these people, you can't get on the worship team if you don't tithe. And I told all the ushers in the usher meeting, don't you dare collect people's offerings and you don't give yourself. Recuse yourself until you get that straight. But if you are not tithing, you have no business handling the tithe. Man, this thing just comes on me sometimes. And I drive home and I'm like, when it comes off me, I'm like, what do I say? But I truly believe it's up to God to build his house and take care of the place and all the rest. And most of the time when I teach, I tell people that, you know, it's more about, hey, get that right. And if you're not ready and all the rest. But I want to challenge some of you. Some of you have been sitting on that for 3 years going, oh, I'm not ready. You know, come on now. It's time for you to trust God. This costs money. You understand? Some people come, they don't ever give anything, but they drink, they use our oxygen, our air conditioning, our bathrooms, drink our coffee, drop their kids off to be taken. You understand what I mean? Like take it for granted it's all going to be here all the time because this guy, Elder Brett will give. We know he's a giver, so Elder Brett will take care of it. You know, no, you know what? The Bible calls you, and if you got to adjust and change your life a little bit so you get your finances in order so you can get that right because the Bible says your heart follows your treasure. Now, and just so you know, if you don't like what I'm saying, go to some other church and tithe there. I promise you, this is not a talk about me trying to get more money. God has to supply the work, and you know what? He will bring Elder Brett and others and all the rest, and they will give, but you'll miss the blessing that he wants to pour out in your life because you got a stingy heart. Listen, what type of relationship do you have? Listen, with my wife, I've been with Chris 27 years. I'm going to be married 25 years, so I got to do something big this next June. John and Denise Atchinkins, they're working on it with me. Chris is in the nursery. Don't anybody tell her. Go big or go home. So, but we've been together all this time. Can you imagine if after all this time together, I was like, I don't want you to see what's in the bank account, and you know, I don't trust you to have. You understand what I'm saying? What kind of relationship is that? When Chris says to me, "Man, I like these shoes," you know what I say? Buy them. You know what I mean? I like this shirt. Get it. You know what I mean? I'm going grocery shopping. Spend all the money we have, baby. Do it. Just come home with some sauce or something. You know what I mean? Sometimes I crave apple pie and vanilla ice cream. Apple pie and vanilla ice cream. That's my go-to dessert. Who knows what I'm talking about? So Dutch apple. Sometimes I just be like, you know, hey, Caleb, go to the store and give me some Dutch apple pie, you know, and some vanilla ice cream. Bring it home. Yeah. Yeah, I do. Listen to you. You had three Cokes yesterday. It's my other son. So you threw off my groove. I feel like the emperor. You threw off the emperor's groove, exactly. It's funny shit. So I wanna challenge you to trust God in this area, because you know what'll happen? When you start adjusting and doing the things that are necessary in your financial life and the way you operate, here's what happens. You start to feel empowered that you're dealing with a situation that sometimes takes you over. You want God's blessing? You know, his blessing might be, look, we downsize, we take a step back to take a step forward at another time. And then we don't do it with all this debt, but we do it with peace. That's why they call it financial peace is the name of the class. The first thing that they teach you is get out of debt, pay off your debt, get rid of the debt, stop borrowing, right? The Bible says this, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord that comes on you will cause you to be the head and not the tail, that you will lend, but you will not borrow. You understand? But that can't happen if you don't do things God's way, and if you don't have a relationship where you trust, if you trust your spouse with your finances more than you trust God. Listen, God is the one that this whole relationship with God is about heaven or hell, and if you don't trust him with your finances, how secure are you in your salvation? I'm just being straight up with you, because this is how I like people to get up in my business. When I got saved, when I got on fire for God, I could not wait to give, and so I ran to church. I started tithing. I was actually tithing to a Christian organization before I found a church, and then I found a church and I brought my tithe there. And the first time I tithe, I said, God, the moment that I can't eat or whatever, that I'm not going to do this anymore, right? And I have never gone hungry, and we have never stopped giving. You understand? And what happens is then you tithe, and then blessing comes into your life. Yeah, there's seasons like with Joseph where there's plenty and then there's famine. That's why you have a savings account. You put money in the savings account during the blessing, so when famine comes, then you understand you can deal with it. You can survive without going on the credit cards. This is all financial wisdom. But here's what happened. People ignore that wisdom, and then they say, I can't tithe. But the church will somehow just take care of itself magically. But watch this. But God knows my heart. Hey, if you feel convicted, that's your problem. Hello? You ready to give? See that app? I use the app, and I'm not techie. So if I can figure it out, you can. And if you're not techie and you use it, you actually feel pretty good about yourself when you go through the process. You're like, hey, I did it. But you give. And the Bible says if he can trust you with the riches of the world, then he can trust you with the true riches of the kingdom. And he says, if he can't trust you there, then he can't trust you there. So the money is actually a test. Okay? And God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? So God, take this. You know why? There's a freedom that comes when that you're no longer connected to your money. It doesn't have a hold of you, but it doesn't control you, but you control it. There's a freedom when that happens. Listen, God said, test me in this. I'll pour out peace. I'll pour out blessing. You know, I'll fill your house, all the rest. Amen? So, if you're there, we're going to go ahead and give to the Lord. Father, we pray over this offering that you would bless it, and you would bless not just the offering, but bless the giver. Bless the gift and the gift giver. You said, Father, that there, Jesus receives, Lord God, this gift that we receive here through the hands of men. So we just bring this heavenly offering to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, you may receive the offering. Now listen, we're finishing in 2 minutes. Did you guys get anything today? You get blessed today? Yeah. Some of you are like, this is too long. These kids were at the prayer meeting at like 8:30. They're all at the prayer meeting like 8:30 praying. Then they went through worship, all of first service, back to another prayer meeting, okay? And then back to the service again, and they're all up here smiling at me going, yeah, we got you understand? That's what filled looks like. Amen? So listen, if you feel today like Peter that you blew it, I want you to step out and just come down here. I want to pray a prayer over you corporately. If you feel like you blew it, just like Peter, you blew it. But then Jesus has shown up at the shores of your life to let you know he's given you another chance. He's not forgotten this. Come on, there's more that are here. You guys step right back, buddy. Step right back. You feel like you've blown it? Come on, right down front. Everybody, you come on right down front. Right down front, right up to the altar. You guys, press right through. Come on. Come on. Come on, there's more. Yeah, I felt this strongly when I was telling that story that there's people here today that's exactly how they feel. They just feel like I made a mistake, and the mistake I made, I'm so glad that you came forward. Yeah, because, you know, God is like so not done with you. It's all going to be good. Yeah. Just like he did with Peter. Peter, everything that he set out to do, he did. You know, and that's what's going to happen with you. Everything that was in your heart to do, you're going to do. He didn't forget you or leave you out. He's so good. He's so gracious. He comes to us all. In our moment when we think, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to go back to fish. I don't know what to do. And he shows up and says, hey, do you love these fish more than me? And I'm like, well, no, God, but I thought. And God says, well, you thought wrong. I'm not done with you. Come with me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. All of you that are down here, lift up your hands. And those of you out there, if you could extend your hands toward them. Father, I thank you so much for your mercy. You started this service during worship talking about how merciful you are, how your mercy's new. And Lord God, how your mercy's as high as the heavens, Lord God. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can never blow it to the point that you give up on us. You are for us and not against us, and that is it. It is complete. You make the C and the D plan feel like the A plan. You redeem what the locusts have eaten, and you restore what the enemy has taken, Lord God. And Father, I release that and pray that, Father, over all of my brothers and sisters that are up here, Lord God, that have come, even those that were afraid to come. I pray that over them, Lord God. Father, you have made us new creations, and old things have passed away, and all things have become new. So I just speak, Lord God, and prophesy, Father, over your sons and daughters, Lord God, the Spirit of God coming on them, Lord God, like the Spirit of God came on Peter. Give them the understanding that you gave Peter, a man who knew the times that he lived in, a voice to his generation who was used powerfully by you despite his failures and faults. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the courage of your sons and your daughters to step out and say, hey, God, I have felt like I've blown it, but I know that you are for me. And so, Father, I just pray and release the Holy Spirit to come on them all right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen, Al. Come on, brother. How you doing? I love this guy. Thank you, Jesus. I know you've been standing a long time, but so have I. Praise God. There's a move of God coming to this region. Don't miss it. Don't let religion or the cares of the world choke out what God's trying to do. He wants to use you. Understand? He's chosen you. You're not here by accident. You live now for a reason. This generation, he flung you from eternity now to be here now, to stand during this generation now, to be a voice, to call people out of the dark and into the light, into his marvelous light. Amen. Well, I guess that's about it for today. It's a sweet presence of Jesus in here. Father, thank you for your church. Bless them as they go. Amen.